Patrick Main, the beverage innovator for Pete's Coffee. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk on the podcast.
I am very happy to be here.
I will have to tell you, I'm geeking out. I'm at the headquarters of Pete's Coffee NT in Emeryville. And are you still aware that when you walk into the building, it smells like coffee? it's like, oh.
Yeah, no, I am not immune to the smell of coffee. yeah, we brew a lot of it here.
It's amazing. You've been with the company for 30 years. I read that you are a lifelong coffee obsessive. What does that mean?
That means that before I had any idea what good coffee was, I was already obsessed with bad coffee. Mm. And so, like, when I was a little kid, like, you know, I would get that, like, wow. It's that international coffee or whatever this, you know, like that. Oh, God, what is it? Like, they had those commercials like, who was that waiter? Jean-Luc. I was really into that stuff. And so I'd make that. And then I started, like, I actually started fooling around making my own coffee concoctions with that, or with just like instant coffee or whatever, when I was a kid.
Really? Before it was a thing.
Before it was a thing. Like, and I would... I don't know. I grew up in this like a really small town. I grew up in kind of a farming town in Northern California.
Where?
Brentwood.
Okay.
It's not really a small town anymore, uh-huh. But then it was. It was like orchards, uh-huh. and there were no stoplights, no chain restaurants, nothing. very, very small town when I was growing up there. But I would, you know, figure out ways to sort of amuse myself. But part of it was just by like making up like these concoctions
and with coffee.
With coffee and my parents weren't really coffee drinkers per se, so we had this, like, you know, instant coffee in the uh-huh. house. My dad's a tea drinker, so we actually had pretty decent tea, but coffee was just like instant. And so but I would just like I would just like make up these funny drinks. I actually made up a drink that was pretty darn close to like a dirty chai when I was like 11 or something, and I was just experimenting. What's tea and ginger and clove and cinnamon all taste like together? And we'll put some of this instant coffee in it. I don't know what I was doing.
So you're in a job that was made for you. You're the guy, folks who are listening, who designs and invents and creates all the coffees that you enjoy at Pete's.
That's your perfect job.
So,
like, was doing some like nascent weird little version of it when I was in my single digits.
That's bizarre.
But I had my first taste of actual Pete's coffee when I was about 15.
And?
It blew my mind. it really was like one of those like sort of epiphany moments of like, what in the heck is this? I was kind of shaking. I was kind of startled by it because I just had no sort of context for it. I really didn't even know if I liked it. It was just like this really kind of intense experience for me. But I was like, I'm going to power through this. And I kept drinking and it's like, okay, this is going to be part of my life.
How much after that first taste, how much after that did
you start
working here?
It was the end of that cup. I was hooked. Like, but it was like the first taste. I do not know what to do with this. By the end of that cup, I was just like, okay, this is going to be definitely a part of my life.
That's an amazing story. So Alfred Pete comes to the United States, I was reading, and he says, how is it that the richest country in the world has the nastiest coffee? Well, he like likened it to dishwater, and he's credited with being sort of the grandfather of the modern coffee craze in the United States.
Very much so, yeah. So, I mean, he had, you know, he grew up in Holland, and his father was a coffee roaster and coffee merchant, so he grew up like surrounded by coffee, working with his father, and you know, he was born in the 20s. After the war, he moved, actually worked for a tea company in London, and he, with his work in the tea industry, he ended up traveling a lot to like Indonesia, different places where he was buying tea.
Mm-hmm.
And also just making sort of contacts there. When he moved to San Francisco, yeah, like you said, he couldn't believe how bad the coffee was. And so he opened his first coffee bar, his first coffee store in Berkeley, just north of the UC campus, and set up a little roaster right in the store, brought in bags, and really, he was literally the first person in the U.S. to treat coffee the way that we all sort of expected to be treated now. Like, it was the first person to really be talking about, to really be even be talking about an origin, because this is 1966. Mm-hmm. And coffee in the U.S. came from a can. That was where coffee comes from, right? And
right.
And he was the first person to say, no, it doesn't come from a can. It comes from Ethiopia.
Yeah.
It comes from, you know, Costa Rica. It comes from Sulawesi. Those coffees from those different origins taste really, really different. And that's a really interesting thing that you should pay attention to and enjoy.
And I think a lot of people don't think beyond the cup of coffee. I mean, maybe it's a big production behind the bar, but the story behind that cup of coffee, as you say, goes back to different countries and people and experiences, and there's a lot behind every cup of coffee that people don't even take into consideration.
There's a huge universe behind every cup of coffee, because it's, you know, it's not only the terroir, it's not only where it grows and the soil and whether it's on the dry side of the mountain or the tropical side of the mountain. You know, this it's how the coffee is processed once it's grown. You know, what elevation is it grown at? Whether it's the coffee cherries are washed of the skin and the pulp, or whether that skin and pulp is allowed to dry on the bean and then rubbed off, all these things make huge differences. And in what we end up, you know, roasting, and then the roast and the way it's roasted, it makes a huge difference. It's almost a miracle that, like, you end up with this beverage that is so, I don't know, so beautiful, and you think about all the steps and all the people that are involved in getting it from a seedling to the cup that we enjoy, and it's incredible to me.
You know what? I'm so sorry that you're not passionate. I am so sorry that you don't love. That was just so beautifully told. Seriously, and folks could see his hands going every direction, and your eyes like going up, talking about the whole process. Try to explain what you do. I got a cup of coffee made by the beverage innovator of Pete's Coffee, Mr. Patrick Main, and he had the sweetness to ask me, well, what should I make you? Whatever you want. So talk about what you do, and then tell our listeners what is in this delicious, magical cup.
So I take that coffee that came from a seedling, mm-hmm. from you know, somewhere else in the world, that was so carefully farmed and cultivated and cared for, and that came, you know, across the oceans to our roasting plant here in the Bay Area, and was roasted by, you know, someone, by a human being with, you know, decades of experience developing the coffee to just the right place. And then I take that, and with a great deal of reverence for that bean, find other things that complement it, and that can, I don't even want to say enhance it, but can sort of take that coffee and let it play in a different context. So I basically take something that doesn't need to be adorned, and I adorn it. I mean, in a way, like, I feel like my part of this whole chain is the sort of, in some ways, the most superfluous, but it is kind of fun too. So the beverage that I made for you, this is something that's actually being featured in our coffee bars right now. This is Golden Cafe Latte. So it's using our Espresso Forte blend. And then a little bit of honey syrup for sweetness, some ginger.
You can really taste the ginger. Oh.
And then we actually take an organic turmeric, ground turmeric, which is sort of this bright, brilliant golden yellow. And then we actually incorporate that into the milk by just steaming it. And so it makes the milk this sort of beautiful golden color. And then we pour a latte with that.
It's delicious. It kind of defies explanation. Do you have any idea how many different combinations you have made in your 30 years here?
Oh, my goodness. Well, so I have been... So, I started 30 years ago, or mm-hmm. a little over 30 years ago, as a barista.
Mm-hmm.
There were only 8 Pete's locations at the time, and those 8 locations were literally the only places that you could get Pete's coffee.
Right.
We weren't in grocery. We weren't Mm-mm. anywhere else. So I just learned. Making espresso and making very basic drinks. We didn't really even have, say, a signature beverage or any sort of beverages of our own recipe until about 1996. So, a little over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I developed that first signature beverage and have every
ever
beverage
since.
Not alone, but with people that I work with. But I've been involved in every beverage. So I don't know. That's a very long, long-winded answer. I don't know.
You don't know.
How many
is the answer? Do you have a favorite, or is that like choosing between your children? Do
oh
you
my
have
goodness.
A favorite?
I'm really into these golden beverages.
It's awesome.
There's one that we did. It's just very, very simple. We introduced it a few years ago. It's sort of it's supposed to be just sort of a limited time offering.
Mm-hmm.
Really successful, and so we kept it. It's called Havana Cappuccino,
mm-hmm.
And it is really, really simple. It's just a little bit of sweetened condensed milk, espresso, and then we just pour a cappuccino. So it's like textured milk, foamed milk, and then a little real light dusting of cinnamon on top. To me, it's just these really classic ingredients come together in a really nice way.
Is there a correct, wine aficionado swirl their glasses and look for the legs and smell? Is there a correct or proper way to drink a cup of coffee?
To drink a cup of coffee?
I have you here. Might as well
yeah. ask. I not necessarily, although... the vessel that you drink
mm-hmm. okay.
coffee in can make a big difference. I was at a Roasters Guild, just had a sensory summit. It was actually at UC Davis.
It's close.
It was right near the coffee center that Pete's is a sort of founding supporter of. One of the things they did in this sensory summit was give us the same coffee in a very smooth vessel and then in a very rough vessel, and the coffee tasted, I swear to God, completely different
wow.
in those two vessels. They also did something where we listened to really low-toned musical note and then a really high-pitched musical note, and the coffee tasted totally
what?
Different. So all these different things can really have an effect on your sensory experience. I don't know if there's really necessarily a correct way to drink coffee.
How about temperature? Sometimes, scalding hot coffee is just
yeah.
a little...
Yeah, temperature... if you're... brewing coffee, mm-hmm. there's a correct temperature for the water to be, and that's around 200 degrees for
okay.
brewing the coffee. But that temperature sort of gets absorbed a bit by the room temperature coffee ground.
Right.
So the way that it ends up in the cup, I think having coffee it's very subjective, right? Some people
right.
like a lot hotter, a lot cooler. I think they're better ways to keep coffee hot,
mm-hmm.
The sort of classical, drip coffee maker brewing into a glass carafe that sits on a hot plate. That's
right.
pretty terrible,
uh-huh.
At least over time.
Right. Is there, going back to wines or other beverages, pairings of coffee with food? Do you feel that certain coffees go better with certain foods, or they're more standalone? Like, what would this
sure.
delicious drink maybe go with?
Well, that
this is a standalone.
Golden, yeah, that's
this
a
is,
pretty much a standalone.
This, I don't need anything.
So I would have that with because that has a lot of flavors. The coffee, I think, comes through really clearly, but the with the turmeric and the ginger, I would probably have that with something pretty simple, maybe
mm-hmm.
just like a
mm-hmm.
croissant or something, or just or a little bit of bread. There are some coffees that are better for food in general. So I think like with dark chocolate,
oh.
So I prefer, say, coffees from Central America, which especially like Costa Rica with the dark chocolate, I think is really, really nice because Costa Rica has kind of cocoa chocolatey mm-hmm. notes as well as some sort of bright acidity that I think that helps as a contrast. And it's really interesting to taste, say, like a 70% cacao or 60% cacao chocolate with, say, a coffee from Costa Rica versus mm-hmm. a coffee from Sumatra. And it's very, very different. Sumatra has this sort of like heavier body and kind of earthy notes that, to my mind, don't go that well with dark mm-hmm. chocolate, whereas Costa Rica is really good. This morning, I have to tell you, I had the best breakfast this morning. It was a little toasted rustic baguette from La Farine, the local baker here. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a fig and orange spread, and a goat milk. It was a goat milk cheddar. Interestingly
wow.
enough,
wow.
That with a cup of our Gaia Organic Blend.
Heaven.
It was so good. Like, I was so excited about it. I was like, oh, God, I just want to, like, keep this experience going.
If someone put a bunch of cups of coffee from different parts of the world, Sumatra, South America, Ethiopia, just black coffee, would you be able to taste the difference and maybe even know where they came from?
I would definitely be able to tell you, you know, like, okay, this is an East African coffee, this is and you know what, I think that with a little bit of practice, I think almost anyone could.
I don't know.
It really is just sort of like you it's a sort of repetition of tasting. I taste a lot of coffee, so but yeah, I think in general there are especially when you're just talking about the general regions,
right.
There are some
that's easy for you. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some clues that you can go get. And then, like, I will always be able to identify a Kenya coffee or an Ethiopia coffee.
Oh, who can't?
Yeah.
How much coffee do you drink?
Oh, my God, so much coffee. I do drink a lot of coffee. And I think everyone should. I think everyone should drink a lot of coffee. I taste a lot of coffee.
Okay, which is different than drinking a lot of coffee.
Yeah, and so I genuinely love coffee. It is just one of my favorite things, and I would probably drink as much coffee if it wasn't my job. But I always start every day with just simple, unadorned, pour-over drip coffee, and for me, that's a sort of, not only is it very, very delicious mm-hmm. to me, but it's also very sort of grounding for me.
The routine, the procedure.
Yeah, the procedure, just like sort of mm-hmm. spending some time making it. And also just like for me, because so much of my day is spent sort of adorning coffee, it's kind of good for me to say, okay.
Hello, coffee.
Hello, coffee. I'm going to dress you up again today. But
so let's talk about the dressing up. Talk about the procedure, how long it takes you to come up with a drink, and have there been some duds?
Oh, that's a good question. How long is that?
I mean, how do they come to you?
So inspiration comes mm-hmm. from a lot of different places. Usually not directly from, like, it's not like I'm going out going, oh, what's, you know, coffee company X doing?
Mm-hmm.
Although I am. I'm looking at what everyone does because I'm genuinely interested. I have a small group that I work with another person that works directly on the actual development, so Rosa, who works with me on that. And then we have sort of a Wednesday morning tasting where we're just like, everything that Rosa and I have been sort of working on the lab, we'll just like say, okay, everyone, this is what we're tasting today. And we have, you know, our partners from like marketing and mm-hmm. also from like sort of operations to keep us honest and in line.
Right.
We just taste things and it's very like very open-ended, like, okay, this is just an idea and we don't know how to, you know, have 1,000 or 2,000 baristas make it, but like here's just a flavor combination that we're interested in. Mm-hmm. So we do that. Well, we do it every week. So and some things it could be something that is currently outrageous, and that maybe people will be open to. Maybe 3 or 4 years down the line.
So you put it back in the file.
We just keep files. So for example, this golden latte. This is not the most intuitive combination.
I would not have put them together, and yet it's magical.
Yeah, but some of the ingredients in this, so like the turmeric, the ginger, those are pretty traditional combinations, especially like in Indian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of our inspiration on this. But it's something that like I'd been playing with a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
not with any particular time or, it wasn't like, oh, I'm developing this for, 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I'm interested in this. I want to see where I can do with this combination of flavors. It wasn't common to sort of mix it with espresso, but I thought, I want to see what that looks. And then I was sort of figuring out, like, how can I get this turmeric into the milk? Ooh, I can steam it in. That makes it really pretty. And then when I pour it with the espresso, then you get this really nice contrast of this sort of bright yellow and then the con. So we have tons of things like that where it's just like, Rosa or our marketing partner Shelby or someone will say, "Hey, I was in a restaurant. I had this cocktail. It had these ingredients in it, and that's really interesting.
Make the coffee version of that."
Or I was at Oaktown Spice, and they had like this masala blend that was really really cool. It was a restaurant. Or I saw this ice cream. Ice cream actually mm-hmm. works as really well. So we're just curious. We're just curious. We all are enthusiasts. We're all really into food. We happen to live in a great area for explorations with food. So we just sort of bring all this stuff together. And it's funny. So Rosa and I have been working together for a few years now, and we are really good at just sort of riffing. Mm-hmm. We kind of. It's sort of the culinary equivalent of finishing each other's sentences. We're just like,
yeah.
And so we'll just be working on all this stuff, and then, but there are definitely, we try everything. So there have definitely been like moments where it was like,
try it. That's like, does this milk smell bad? You smell it. No.
Exactly. Like, ooh, that's terrible. You need to taste this. We do that.
What is the, as we close, what's, if you can summarize, what is the favorite part? What's your favorite part of your job?
Oh my God. That I get to play with coffee. I mean, I've been doing it all my life, and I just am like, it's hard for me to believe sometimes that thing that I did to like amuse myself as a kid is essentially what I'm doing now as a living. And I work with awesome people I am totally pleased to be at work every day because I'm going to go see my friends and we're going to play with coffee.
The guy who plays with coffee, a.k.a. the beverage innovator for Pete's Coffee, Patrick Main, a delight. And thank you for this delicious drink. Thank you for being as creative as you are. And thanks for playing with coffee as a kid. I think a grateful nation thanks you. Thanks so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.